Welcome back. If your schedule has been rearranged due to back to school, where over 20,000 in the Pittsburgh Public School District and many others have followed, some back last week, others throughout the course of this week, and it looks like almost everybody by the time we get to Tuesday after Labor Day, a week from tomorrow already. And a lot of excitement, a lot of anxiety, a lot of drama and emotion goes into certainly the first few days, getting the kids back on a schedule. And joining us is the executive director of Shady Lane School. Welcome, Lindsay Ramsey. Lindsay, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Larry. Thank you so much for having me.
How are you feeling? Because, you know, you've got a lot of things to check off as the day gets rolling and you get back to school. So a lot of planning and preparation in it. So how are you?
You know, very busy. So we actually start our week of in-service today and training for our educators. But for the past couple weeks, I've been supporting other institutions with professional development as well. And I've been able to get some feedback from educators from the early childhood space all the way through K to 12 about how they're feeling about the upcoming school year and some of the things they're experiencing.
And one of those, and I know this is controversial in many schools, is what do we do with cell phones these days when it comes to in class? And I know a lot of schools say, well, the students aren't allowed to use their phones in class certain times, but it's a challenge because it's a distraction. It just is. So what are you hearing from teachers?
You know, we live in such a different day and age now. You know, back when we were kids, cell phone wasn't a thing. And now it is very much the thing, and children are attached to it, which can be very disruptive to learning in classrooms, especially since there's not a lot of monitors on cell phones, and it's very hard to manage, you know, kids coming in with them and how we block them from being in the classroom. So I have two perspectives on this. One, a lot of families prefer for the children to hold cell phones for safety reasons, which I completely understand because, again, we live in a different day and age, and it's important that we're able to track our children and keep them safe. But I also think there needs to be better investments into the schools so they have comprehensive security available and security procedures available so children don't have to be married to their cell phone in the classroom. It's very important that they have a free headspace and they can get the social emotional interactions that they need in the classroom and aren't focused on technology all the time.
And what about just shortages that we've heard about over the years from simple things like pencils and paper in schools? What mm-hmm. do you hear from other teachers? And because a lot of teachers end up putting up their own money to make sure that their students have enough supplies, that seems something we kind of take for granted.
Oh, 100%. You know, the education system is a broken system, and it has been for years, and schools are lacking resources heavily, right down to the simple things like pencils and paper, but also to the more complex pieces of their work, like early intervention and intervention service providers, teachers in general. That's a resource that we're lacking right now too.
Wow.
And it's truly due to the lack of investment in the work and how our society is viewing the importance of care work, because essentially teaching is care work.
We're with the executive director of Shady Lane School, Lindsay Ramsey. And so as you get ready for this year and the kids coming back today in the Pittsburgh Public Schools, as you know, navigating another factor, and this is how are we handling COVID now in the school environment? Because we're seeing some uptick in cases. It's still around, but we've managed to deal with it a lot better, I think. So what is the protocol at schools now?
So we follow the CDC guidelines. our program in particular is an early childhood program. So if any child exhibits any type of symptoms, or if they spark a fever of 100.4 or more, they do have to go home and get clearance from a doctor and return at least 24 hours after they're fever-free or after they've been given medication. So if they do experience COVID, they do have to isolate, but they could come back within 5 days with a mask.
Okay, now that's a little bit of a change in. So you follow the guidelines, and we'll direct people to the CDC's guidelines, because obviously this has become something we deal with and have to with the course of school underway. And then where are we when it comes to remote learning when that's called for? I know with heat can be an issue in some schools without air conditioning.
Yeah. It's another one of those things where we are severely behind in investments, and children still don't have access to the school technologies, and a lot of schools don't have the capacity to be able to support that virtual learning. Even after the whole pandemic and embarking on virtual learning journeys, we were never quite able to get it right. And that's because the field lacks the capacity for that work.
No lack of challenges, as always, as we begin the school year. What's your dog's name?
Princess. She's probably out right now barking at the kids at the school bus.
Right, you know? There you go. Lindsay, thanks for the time, and good luck this school year.
Thank you so much.
All right. Lindsay Ramsey, Executive Director of Shady Lane School, and on the Big K Morning Show. So a lot going on and a lot to consider as you get ready for back to school in the Big K Morning Show. Now I want to give you an opportunity to go see the Pittsburgh Renaissance Festival, which is an opportunity each and every year. If you haven't been, do you remember the women they sent in? They call them the wenches. So
they're unforgettable. I mean, they're with us almost every year. And generally speaking, they're, you know, well, I don't know what word I'm looking for. I guess wench. I guess wench is the correct word.
Is that politically incorrect?
I assume that it is, but that's what they call themselves.
Yeah, their words, not ours. They paid a visit to the studio. Michael Bartley is so shook up he can't come in today. But we're going to give you a family pack of four tickets. 412-922-1020. 412-922-1020. They run now through September every weekend. The Pittsburgh Renaissance Festival. Pick a number, Paul.
Let's go with 12.
Caller number 12. We're going to make you a winner. Aaron, are you okay with that? That's not bad. You seem to stress every time we do a giveaway. Why is that, Aaron? Just let the phone ring for a minute. You'll be okay. It's okay.
I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be great.
Take it
love
easy.
Love talking to all the people.
There's a fire. All right. Go ahead. She gets anxious about this. Hey, over the weekend, we found out.
Well, I mean, it doesn't help that when she's busy answering phones, then you start asking her questions.
Okay. Mr. Proper.
Oh, I'm just saying, that's what comes up for me.
You know what? Over the weekend, I don't know why I keep thinking about this. These two astronauts that are stuck in space.
Oh, what an embarrassing episode for Boeing. Another one.
Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams. Now they're going to hitch a ride back to Earth on a SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule rather than the Boeing Starliner spacecraft.
Elon Musk to the rescue.
How about that?
And they're going to be there till February.
How about if somebody told you, hey, I know we were supposed to pick you up in June, but we'll see you in February.
Oh, my man, I'm telling you.
If that was an Uber ride, I mean, these poor people, I understand that there's an element of risk if you're going to go to space, but I want to see this. This sounds like it'll be a movie. The Starliner drama has been a major setback for Boeing. And so,
It's another one. I mean, they've had several now. We have, first of all, we have the MAX jet crashes. the back-to-back crashes that killed several hundred people in each. And then we had the revelations about manufacturing difficulties, in which one of the door plugs blew out of a 737. Fortunately, no one injured there. And then another story about manufacturing defects in the 777 series.
And Boeing has always been one of those names where, you know.
One of my uncles worked as an engineer for Boeing back in the day when, I mean, they were dead solid perfect on things. They just didn't have problems. And so for this to be going on now is just a whole different story about Boeing. And, you know, and they've built thousands and thousands and thousands of very reliable planes, and these things that pop up, you know, people are concerned, and rightfully so. We can't get a couple astronauts back because they're Starliner. They can't. They're flying the Starliner back from the space station empty, Larry.
Why?
They don't think it's safe enough. The risk is too high. To put someone in it.
So Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams will remain in space for another 6 months.
What went wrong with that, by the way, is they had some thruster problems and some helium leaks. Those are things that are not good in space.
What a nightmare. How would you like to be stuck in space?
Well, I mean, if that's what you've always wanted to do, and you get the chance to do that, maybe it's not so bad. I don't know. I couldn't handle it because of the claustrophobia.
Well, they're freeing up two seats that would have been occupied, by the way, SpaceX. So they're going to do that, and then that means two astronauts who had planned to go to space won't get to go. But they asked them over the weekend about it, and they're like, hey, man, we got to bring these people back.
I think that SpaceX has a launch scheduled with four-person crew here in the next couple of days, too, if I have it right.
Yeah, by transporting two astronauts instead of the planned four, they'll be able to fly back in those open seats in February.
Ugh.
They're bored. Can we send them any board games or anything? I don't know what the heck you do.
Especially because if your mission was, you know, one particular thing, I guess they've been working on giving him things to do, you know, research and science projects, stuff like that, I assume.
Well, by the way,
you know, it'd be awfully boring. There's no library, no swimming pool.
Speaking of travel, this is going to be another big weekend. We've had a record summer of air travel. Not only a record nationally, but a record at Pittsburgh International. And as Rich Fitzgerald explained to us, when we were a hub for U.S. Air, people would come into the airport, but they wouldn't be coming from outside.
No, they weren't origin customers.
Right. So they wouldn't be going through TSA security. But and it's a crapshoot any given day.
One of the pieces of good news about all of this is that the newer facilities are coming online to handle the crowds. New Orleans got a new airport. Kansas City's got a new airport. Portland is just opening their new airport. They just opened a brand new terminal at Newark. LaGuardia has a brand new terminal. There are several projects underway at JFK, and we're coming online sometime in 25. That's good news.
Yeah, it is good news. They said, I believe, don't hold me to this, that they'll have 12 TSA lines.
That's exactly what they say.
In the new airport.
A dozen would be fine with me.
So that will free up. But my suggestion is, if you are traveling this weekend by air out of Pittsburgh, just be aware that, you know, you got to give yourself extra time. It's not like the good old days.
And one other thing, they think a cyber attack is what's causing all the problems in Seattle. Right? You've got Alaska Airlines hub there. So, you know, they're advising people to pack light and, you know, bring a carry-on. They don't think the carousels aren't working right now. There's been delays and cancellations. It's been a mess.
You bring up a great point, and that is, if you're traveling by air these days, you really have to go in with a mental attitude to deal with a lot of delays. And wait, to that point in Seattle, there was one plane load of people that were on the tarmac for 2 hours.
Oh, man.
Waiting for a gate because they couldn't communicate.
I've been through that that kind of, not that long, but I've been through that, and that's hell. Once you've finally gotten there, and then you got to sit.
I've been on a flight where they said, we're leaving early or on time. We're going to arrive at the gate early. We're going to get you there.
Well, we appreciate you flying with us. We're going to get you to Pittsburgh 20 minutes early.
And then you get there, and you know what's coming.
Yep.
You know what's coming.
We're waiting for the gate crew to be, right?
As soon as a gate frees up, we'll be able to get to our gate.
Yep.
half hour later.
Man, I'm telling you, that is exactly what happens.
Yeah, so if you're flying, you got to be mentally tough and prepare yourself for...
Yeah, anything can happen, really, you know?
Except being stuck in space for 6 months. Every Monday at this time of the Big K Morning Show, we're joined by Brian Caranta, Secure Money Advisors. It's all about estate planning, financial planning for your future retirement. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Good to talk to you.
Thinking about your experience in the last quarter of a century, 25 years, what have been the biggest changes in financial planning?
Well, first off, I can't believe it's 25 years. I know most people can relate to that. Time goes by quick. But I think really what I've seen is just the massive responsibility for the retiree to be responsible for their own retirement. Meaning if you go back 30, 40 years ago, the retiree really didn't have to worry about what retirement was going to be because they got a Social Security check and they got a pension check. So they knew exactly the date in which they were going to retire. And this is why we saw people have retirement parties, which you don't see a whole lot anymore. And today, the retiree is not getting a pension, and they're going to have to figure out how they're going to stay retired, get retired and stay retired for the rest of their life. It's a big challenge.
I would imagine, and we've talked about this over the last few months, that just getting people started in the conversation is sometimes the biggest challenge.
I think it's an easy conversation to kick down the road. It's easy to ignore that conversation. Sometimes I don't think people really want to take the time to figure out where they are. Maybe they don't want to face reality of whether they don't have enough to retire, or maybe they're just not ready to have that conversation, or they're intimidated by what to do and what to ask. And that's why I spent the time to write my book, Right Track Your Retirement, because I wanted to give people an easy blueprint to follow, something that was simple and easy to understand, to get them used to what they were going to have to think about, the areas of retirement planning they were going to think about, to give them a better chance to be able to retire early and have the confidence to stay retired. And I think that's really what it's all about. And it comes down to you understanding there's five basic fundamentals, and I write about them in my book. And the more you know, the more confident you are.
At what point, age-wise, do you begin this process? Really drill down on it, especially when looking ahead to retirement, too.
Well, I can tell you, you know, in a perfect world, you would say as soon as you start working. But I have dozens and dozens of stories of people not being able to really start saving until their mid-40s. And usually those folks have accumulated an enormous amount of money because that was the time when the kids were finally out of the house and they were in their highest earning years. So if you feel behind, or you know, you read articles or listen to people that have said you should have been saving since you were 25, in reality, in the real world, that doesn't work that way sometimes. So I've seen people make a lot of progress in a very short period of time, even when they were in their mid-40s to mid-50s, they've made great progress. So you can still make a lot of ground, even if you feel that you're behind, as long as you know what to do.
What's the first thing you tell people to do?
Understand where all of their assets are. You got to take inventory of all of your assets so we know where we stand. And then the second step is to figure out when you retire, how are you going to replace the paycheck that you're getting?
And for some people, that's become a big question because they're still physically able to work and may want to continue, but they've reached the age where they could retire. So it's an interesting dynamic.
It is. It is because, you know, there's the emotional aspect of retiring too. Are you ready to retire? What are you going to do beyond retirement? What's your purpose going to be beyond that? If you're a police officer or a military or a pilot, there's a lot of professions out there that you have no choice. You have to retire at a certain age, 65 and out, 60 and out. Those people deal with the challenges of retirement a little bit differently because a lot of them might want to still work, but they're being forced out. So you've got to be prepared financially, but you got to be prepared emotionally too to retire.
RightTrackPittsburgh.com. Brian Caranta with us every Monday at this time. Brian, always good to catch up.
Larry, thank you. See you next week.
On the Big K Morning Show. Our next hour, if you didn't see, the Hall of Fame festivities for the Pirates over the weekend, worth hearing certainly from Jim Leland, Barry Bonds, and Manny Sanguin. And the Pirates ended up with a nice series win anyway, 3 out of 4 from the Reds, including a dramatic walk-off in the ninth yesterday. Meanwhile, a busy day for a lot of people getting back to school and a busy week as we get ready for Labor Day. And if you're traveling, heads up, CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Naveen Chopra is hoping to beat the Labor Day rush by squeezing in one last summer trip with his family now, trading the blistering heat of Phoenix for Calgary.
Before the kids go back into college, and then just having some time before everyone's back in the offices and school.
AAA says domestic travel will be the focus this Labor Day weekend, trending up 9% over last year. The cost to fly is down about 6%, and gas prices are roughly 44 cents a gallon cheaper than this time last year. United Airlines expects Friday, August 30th, to be its busiest day of the long holiday weekend.
Overall, this summer has been busier than last summer.
AAA says the top destination, Seattle, driven by a nearly 30% surge in Alaskan cruises, helping Anchorage and Juneau, Alaska make their top 10 list.
There is this desire to go cruising, primarily because people can budget that vacation ahead of time. You know how much you're going to spend on drinks, you know how much you're going to spend on lodging, so you don't have to worry about it too much.
Travel website Priceline says while Europe and beach destinations are always big, the return of college football and the U.S. Open in New York are also going to be big draws. CEO Brett Keller.
Event tourism has really taken off over the last couple of years, and this Labor Day in particular, big college towns are taking off. Atlanta, Miami, Nashville. There's a lot of people chasing sporting events as well as concerts.
Is it too late to start thinking about Labor Day weekend?
It's not too late to start thinking about Labor Day weekend. And if you're flexible with your destination, that really opens you up to cherry pick and find a location that fits your needs at a great price.
For one last taste of record-breaking summer travel, Chris Van Cleve, CBS News, Phoenix.
And we've had record travel out of Pittsburgh International this summer too here, Paul.
The Transportation Security Administration, Larry, anticipates screening more than 17 million people nationwide between Thursday and next Wednesday, which would be the record for the Labor Day weekend. That is an amazing number. American Airlines is saying it's going to have its largest Labor Day weekend ever. They're expecting a 14% increase in passengers over last year. That is amazing to me.
But I do caution people, just heads up, when you're traveling by air, you got to be flexible.
Absolutely. And here's another little factoid for you. About risky driving. A lot of people, most people would be on the road if they're going anywhere. And a new report from Arity, which is a subsidiary of the insurance giant Allstate, says people speeding over 80 miles an hour is up 83%, and very high speeding, which would be faster than 100, is up more than 50%.
I was on yesterday afternoon Route 80 from just beyond Dubois to 79 and then came south. And I got to tell you, the number of trucks on Route 80 yesterday afternoon was unbelievable. I mean, it was semi-white knuckle driving, and it was perfect conditions in terms of sunshine, dry. I can't imagine when it's snowing up there or it's raining heavily. There were so many trucks. It's white knuckle driving, you know, stay focused, pay attention.
Circling back to flying, by the way, we were talking earlier. I think it's worth repeating. Pack light and take what you need with you in your carry-on, because you might get separated from it if you have a checked bag. And by the way, what's going on in Seattle, if you've got an Alaska ticket trying to get from point A to point B, they've had some kind of cyber attack out there at SeaTac Airport.
Right.
That's messed up operations out there. They're advising people to just bring your own bag and a carry-on because the carousels aren't working.
Lovely.
And of course, then you have also the delays and cancellations go along with these kind of things.
But a 30% increase of cruises out into Alaska, I find that interesting. People want to get cool. Paul, triple-digit temperatures last week in the Southwest.
They may get cool, but they're going to really be impressed when they see the mosquitoes the size of small birds.
What a way to ruin your trip. Zzz.